Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Okay, we're going to continue our series today, Jesus Is. And I love this series. We're actually going to complete this series today, but this is a series that we could go on forever, right? And we've been looking at this quote by A.W. Tozier, who's a theologian. He's an author. He was a speaker at this time. And he just has this quote that says this, and I love it. It says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So for the last few weeks, we've been jumping into this series called Jesus Is. We're completing that statement. We're filling in the blank, and we're learning that as we fill in the blank, Jesus is. As we complete that for whatever it is in our life, whatever we fill in the blank, it really matters to our life. Because as we define who Jesus is, we're really defining ourselves as well. And we started off, we talked in Easter, and we talked about how Jesus is alive. We jumped into that, and we learned that since Jesus is alive, we can be alive in Him. So our hopes, our dreams, our goals, the things, our purpose, our general purpose, the things that God has for us, we can be alive. A lot of times we feel like they're dead, right? Because we have this thing called sin, and we're dead in our sin. But because Jesus is alive, we can be alive as well. And then we also talked and jumped in and talked about how Jesus is grace, and that this is a gift that God's given us so that we could have a relationship with Him. We accept and receive this gift of grace, this gift of Jesus. And then last week we jumped in and we talked about how Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And because of this, we can stop acting spiritual, but we can just be spiritual. Because when we have an experience with the man who embodies both the law and the love of God, when we have an experience with Jesus, it changes everything. And then Jesus is a friend of sinners. And today, we're going to jump in and we're going to talk about how Jesus is with you always. Jesus is with you always. And if we let that sink in, man, that is good news, right? I mean, how many of you guys sometimes get scared when you're alone? We're going to be honest. How many of you get scared when you're alone? It's a little bit nervous, right? Now, we live in a house and it settles, like when the weather changes or when the temperature in the house changes, it settles and it makes these really, really loud noises. Like it creaks and cracks, and it's a little weird. So about a year ago, Sarah went home and she was by herself. She just had the kids, but she went in the home by herself and she walked in. And this was during one of those seasons where it was kind of changing. The weather was a little bit different. So she walks in and then she hears this creak and crack. And it sounds like someone is in our upstairs. She's all alone. So what'd she do? She completely panics. Now, Sarah's pretty good at panicking. So her first call was to me, and I'm in a meeting. So I'm sitting there like, I get this call and keeps buzzing, and I'm like, okay, this must be something. So I took the phone call. She's like, someone's in our house. Someone's in our house. Something's going wrong. Someone's in our house. I'm so scared. What do we do? What do I do? I'm like, all right. Well, I'm stuck in a meeting, Sarah. Are you sure someone's in our house? She's like, it's got to be. There's definitely someone else. I'm like, okay, well, first thing, you probably want to leave and then call the sheriff's department because they're going to do a little bit better than what I'm going to do anyways, right? So she calls the sheriff's department. The sheriff sends not just one sheriff, but they send three sheriffs there. Meanwhile, I'm cutting out of my meeting early, right at home as well. Turns out, nobody was in our house. It was a fun story for our kids to watch as the police are going through our house with flashlights in every room. But nobody was in there, right? But she panicked because she was all alone. There's that fear. And I've done the same thing too. I'm not going to lie and say that I've walked into our house and I've heard it creak and think, oh man. But for some reason, I'm the man, so I get all fired up, and I'm walking around the house looking under the beds, looking in the closets. But for some reason, when you're all alone, it makes you feel better if you, like, make noises, right? So I'm, like, knocking things over, making sure I'm loud, yelling, hey, come out, wherever you are, right? I'm doing all those things. But again, there's nobody there. I think sometimes when we are alone, it gets a little bit scary. There's something amazing about the power of presence. I mean, if I were going to sit down with you and ask you, hey, tell me the craziest thing you've ever done. Tell me what you did, like when you were in high school, when you were in college, what's the craziest thing you'd ever done? Most likely the story would start out, well, we were doing this, right? Because you never do anything really crazy or adventurous or with it. Like, you never had that lack of fear when you're by yourself. It's always with somebody. There's power in presence. And it's a human condition that when we have other people around us, man, we're able to keep it together, right? And God knows this. God knows our human condition. So he said that Jesus will be with us always. He said that he will be with us always. He would turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And we are going to jump to a bunch of scriptures today. So all the scriptures will be up on the screen. So if you just want to, if you're taking notes, write those down. You can go back to a reference point at a later time as well. But we'll jump into Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. This is where we'll spend most of the time today. And this is Jesus' his last few words while he was here on earth. And he was telling his followers, he's telling his disciples, and he's really telling us this. He's telling this last thing. He's basically giving us, and it's called the Great Commission. And he's telling us this right before he leaves. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Today we are going to baptize, so it's an awesome time that we read this, but throws it in there as well because we're doing what God's commanded us. But he continues on in verse 20, he says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. That last sentence, I'm with you always. And how long? Even until the very end. Here's Jesus saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm always there. In other words, God's tangible presence is with them always. God is always with us, and Jesus is with us always. And we hear that, and I think, man, we think there's probably some type of stipulation to it, right? I think, you know what? There's got to be some guidelines. Man, if I don't pray, then Jesus isn't with me, right? If I don't read the Bible, if I don't spend so much time in church, if I make a mistake, then Jesus is gone. He's no longer with me always. But let's just check this out then. 1 John 4:15. Says this. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. It's simple, right? It doesn't matter what else we do. It doesn't matter what else we don't do, but God is with you. God is with you. If we can understand this concept, though, it will change who we are. It probably will change how we act even. It'll change what we do. I mean, think about it. The power of presence has so much power. Have you ever watched a TV show or a movie, maybe with your child or maybe with your parent? And maybe it was like your favorite movie, might have been your favorite TV show, but once your parents were around or once your kid's with you, it's a little bit different. Remember growing up, one of my favorite TV shows was Roseanne. I know, don't make fun of me. Stop judging right now. I feel it. But one of my TV shows was Roseanne. I was like junior high, right? And for some reason, we decided to, and this is when they were actually newer series. They weren't the reruns. So we were watching this, and I decided to watch it with my parents when, I think it was a Wednesday night is when that show came on. So I decided to watch with my parents. Let me just say, it was super awkward. Like, it just got weird. Like, there was some questionable language in there. The content in there was very very questionable, almost vulgar. I mean, I was sitting there watching this show with my parents. I couldn't look them in the eye. I couldn't look at all. I'm like trying not to turn around at all. I'm like, oh, make this stop. God, make this stop. Eventually, we turned the TV show off. We're like, this was weird. And I'm thinking, I'm going back. Man, how can they show that on TV, right? How can they even show that? Meanwhile, this is one of my favorite shows that I've seen tons of times before. Every episode is the same, has many of the same language, many of the same content in there, but I never knew that until there was somebody with me. It's the power of presence. The power of presence heightens your awareness. I think you realize more of what's going on around you when someone's with you. It enlightens your conscience, and often it can bring you confidence, can bring you clarity in decision-making. The power of presence makes you aware of things. And if we truly believe that Jesus was with us always, how different would we live? How differently would we live publicly? How different would we live privately? Again, this is what Jesus is telling us in Matthew 28. He's telling us he's going to be with us always. Well, in Matthew 28, what's happening right here? Jesus is getting ready to leave the earth. He's been on earth for 33 years. He's done miracles. At this point, he's already died. He's came back. He's talking with his disciples, right? He's risen from the dead. He's done everything he promised he was doing. Now he's getting ready to leave his disciples, but he gives them a purpose. He says, I'm going to be with you always, but I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to give you a mission. And if we realize that he's with us always, I think we'd realize the mission that we have on our life. Regardless of who we are, we all have a purpose that God has called us to do, and he wants us to fulfill it, because so much that way that he's even going to be with us always throughout it. And again, this passage of scripture is called the Great Commission. And he says, you and I, as followers of Jesus, he calls us to go. He calls us to go. And as we plan this church in September, this is one of the main goals of this church. It's to go. It's to go and to be carriers of the DNA of Jesus to all the parts of this community, right? Take it to every corner, not just to stay within these four walls, not just to stay within this building, but to go out and love people into life change, love people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Take it out where we can invite people in, but not only that, where we can go and share what God's done in our life, because nobody can argue with what God's done in your life. And but we have to have this mindset to live intentionally, to live on a mission. And the thing about a mission is this: there will always be risk involved on a mission. There will always be risk involved on a mission. So sometimes it gets a little tough, right? There's going to be challenges. There's going to be moments where we feel like we're completely alone. There's going to be moments where we feel like we want to retreat. There's going to be moments where we feel like we need to call the sheriff's department, call in for backup, right, to go check it out. But Jesus knew that we would feel that way. This is why he said, I'm with you always. He knew that times would get hard. He never promised life would be easy, right? He knew that times would get hard. And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, I'll speak to you guys here. As a follower of Jesus, though, I think oftentimes we think, man, I made my decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. Life should get easy. But if you look back at your life, chances are, the closer you get to Jesus, the harder you're following him, the more desperate you are after him, the harder your life gets. As we planted this church, we knew, man, there's going to be some crazy things. I think we tried to warn our team. I don't know if we did a good enough job, but we tried to warn our team that, you know what? Things are coming, right? I mean, how many times have you even asked yourself the question, man, they're not even following God, but how come it seems like everything is going well for them? But yet I'm following Jesus, man, everything just seems like it's going rough, right? It's falling apart. Heard this story about a couple of hunting buddies who were pastors. One was an older pastor, one was a younger pastor. So they're going out hunting. And the younger pastor, he's kind of trying to look for some wisdom from the older pastor. He's saying, you know what? It's like, man, why do all these people, why are they a wreck? Why are all these Christians, why does it seem like things seem to go wrong for them more so than those who don't believe in God, who aren't following God? So they're out hunting. The older pastor looks around, sees a dead animal. Says, you see that dead animal over there? Younger pastor's like, yes, sir. Says, do we shoot at that dead animal? Younger pastor's like, nope. Older pastor's like, you're right. We shoot at things that are alive. I think Satan, I think the enemy, he knows that we are alive. We go back to the very first portion of this sermon series, right? Jesus is alive and we are alive in him. We're alive. So guess what? We have a target on our backs. Man, we have the hope of the world in us that we can share with others. Satan doesn't want that. So we have a target on our back. There's going to be times where there's challenges. There's going to be times where there's difficulties. There's going to be resistance. But this is why Jesus promised to be with us always. Not just some of the time, not just under certain circumstances, but always. He's promised to be with us always. And he's got to be the place where we look for security and stability. We have to look to him. We find those things, that security and stability. It can't be in anything else but Jesus. Go with me to John 16, verses 30. We're going to read 31 through 33, but we'll start out with verse 33. John 16, verse 33, it says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Here's Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You can read this passage of scripture and it can get you all kind of pumped up, right? Like you're ready to roll, you're ready to take on hell with a squirt gun. It's kind of like how you feel like after you just watched Rocky. You just want to go box, but you've never boxed before. This is kind of what this verse does. It gets you pumped up. But if you look at this, here's Jesus and he's having a discussion with his disciples. And He's telling them, you know what? Trouble is going to come, but I'm going to be with you always. But if you go back just a couple verses here, it's funny because the disciples at that point, they're still questioning who he is. Like they spent 3 years with him, right? They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him teach these amazing lessons. They've seen all this, but they're still questioning who he is. And verse 31 says, "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied, "A time is coming, in fact, has come when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me." So here's the disciples. They're now just beginning to believe. But then Jesus is going to tell them this. He says, you guys are going to be scattered and you're going to leave me. Here's Jesus, knowing that he's about to face death on a cross, knowing that he's about to be tortured completely, but yet his disciples are going to leave him all alone. The closest people to him on this earth, on this planet, are going to leave him all alone. But if you look at Jesus, what did he do? He gave us an example of what we need to do. He took comfort in the presence of his Father. And then from this, he tells us to take comfort in him. He says, I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In him, we may have peace. Gonna have trouble, but take heart. In him, we're gonna win because he's overcome the world. And I think the tension between us as followers of Jesus, I think, and the world is this. We say, man, he's overcome the world, but yet we still live in the world. And as Christians, I think so many times we try to remove ourselves from everything. We try to remove ourselves from any trial, from any tribulation. We try to remove ourselves from all these things, but really, in all honesty, it's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to accomplish a mission, to love people into this growing relationship with him. But to do that, here's the thing. It needs to be more real to us that we are in Christ than we are in the world. It needs to be more real to us being in his presence, being in the presence of the one who's overcome the world than the fact that we are in the world, right? He is with us always. And his presence, God's presence, is the ultimate antidote to any and all of our fears. God's presence is the ultimate antidote to any and all of our fears. Whether it's our fear of insufficiency, thinking that we're never going to be enough. Maybe it's a fear of lack that we have. We have a lack of abilities, a lack of talent, a lack of resources. We have all these different fears. But God's presence is the ultimate antidote to every fear we have in life. If you look at Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Basically, this passage of scripture is saying, don't get caught up with stuff. Don't get caught up thinking that we lack something. I want a bigger house. I want a better outfit. I want a better car. I want different characteristics of who I am, right? I want better resources. I want better this. Don't get caught up in stuff. Stuff should never be our focus. Because if you look at this verse, if stuff was our focus, then the way this verse would end is saying that God will always provide. But the verse doesn't end that way, right? It ends with saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The antidote is his presence to overcome the anxiety that we struggle with, to overcome the issues that we may have in our life. It's his presence. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And if we look at that, man, that almost sounds like it's repetitive, right? But it's not. If you look at the word leave, it means he'll never let you down. And the word forsake means to never walk away. Jesus is the only one that can promise this. You may have experienced people who have let you down. Chances are they've probably been really close to you, but they still may have let you down. There's probably people who have walked away from you, have walked out of your life, and they might even been close people that should have stayed there. But they didn't promise that, and they can't promise that because only Jesus can promise that. He will never leave you nor forsake you in his presence. His presence isn't really a locality issue, right? Understand this. His presence isn't just all, I go to church and I feel God's presence. Or I come to the prayer night and I feel God's presence there. I only feel God's presence when I open my Bible, right? That's not what it's about. God's presence is with us everywhere. When we go home, when we go into the restaurant, when we go into work, when we go into every area of our life, that's where God is. That's where Jesus is. He's going to be with us always. He's going to be with us every single day. He's going to be with us on Sundays. He's going to be with us on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. He's going to be with us when we have to pay bills on our bill day. He's going to be with us when we get paid, right? He's going to be with us every single day of our life. And we have to look at his presence. We have to look for his presence. Because Jesus is with us always. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about a guy named Saul, who later turned his name to Paul. So one of my favorite stories, but one thing I love about him is he always focused on the presence of Jesus. Now Saul was a Pharisee. He was getting ready to be a Pharisee. He was basically a prodigy. He was a brilliant mind. He was on his way to become one of the religious leaders at that time. And he was into the Jewish portion of it, and he hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He even saw Christians murdered. But then he meets Jesus in this crazy way. He's right along the road, gets knocked off his donkey, gets completely blinded, and then Jesus talks to him and speaks to him right there. He meets Jesus, gives his life to Jesus, but when he gives his life to Jesus, man, there's this radical change. He lived on a mission. He lived with purpose, and his life became completely risky. He planted churches all over. He wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote all these crazy things. And four of the books that he wrote in the New Testament, they're called the Prison Epistles. And these letters, they're basically letters that he wrote when he was in prison, when he was in chains, when he was beaten. And these prisons, I mean, they're not really nice prisons. Not that any prison is probably nice, but these prisons were extremely messed up. Scholars would say that the prisons that he would be into, he might have been naked in these prisons, and he would have been up to his waist in just raw sewage. It's the kind of prisons he was at. And not only was he in chains and handcuffs, but he was in these things called stocks and bonds. These aren't the things that you buy on Wall Street or anything like that, although sometimes these can have the same effect. But the stocks and bonds, what they did is they put him into some severe pain and cramping. So here's Paul. He's in these prisons, and he's writing letters from these places. He's writing letters of encouragement to other churches. And one of the letters is to the church in Philippi. And it says this in Philippians 4:4. I love this. Here's Paul in a prison. He's writing this from a prison, one of these dirty places, and he's saying this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice. Again, I will say, rejoice." Here's Paul, he's saying, if Jesus is with me, I can rejoice always. Now, Paul wasn't pumped about being in prison. I'm sure he wasn't ecstatic about that, right? But he's pumped about being in God's presence. I don't think we need to be pumped about some of the situations we are in. There's times where, man, it might be rough. But what we need to do is we need to realize that God's presence, that Jesus' presence is so much bigger than any situation that we could ever be in. It's bigger than whatever to our debt to our eyeballs, right? We're in just junk to our waist. We're in all this stuff. God's presence is bigger than all that. Instead of focusing on that problem, we need to focus in on Jesus. Because Jesus is with us. Always. Jesus is with us always. If we understood this, if we grasped this, how much different would we live? What would this change for us? What risks might we take? Maybe we'd invite somebody else to church. Maybe we'd share our faith. Maybe we'd share what Jesus did in our lives with someone else if we lived knowing that Jesus was with us always. Maybe that struggle that we're going through right now, that fear, that thing that we face right now that seems so big, seems like we can't even overcome it. Maybe we could face that with a little bit more confidence if we knew that Jesus is with us always. Jesus is with you always. And that's my prayer for you today. My prayer is that changes who you are. Jesus is with us always. Let's pray. Before we pray, I just want to maybe you're here today and you just need to experience Jesus. Maybe you need to know that he's with you always. Maybe you never had a relationship with him. Maybe you had a relationship with him, but you walked away and you need to experience him again. If that's you, I just want you to, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to raise your hand when I get to three. One, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with him. Three, raise your hand. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us always. Forgive me of my sins and help me follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.